Hello, and welcome to Returning to Us, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to hack your brain, build and strengthen relationships, and to teach people how to recognize and neutralize their emotional states. I'll discuss emotional intelligence and regulation, how food and exercise impact the body and brain, and share lessons from my own lived experiences. I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer, the founder of the Behavior Hub, which is an organization that works to reduce the stressors of raising and educating children through a brain and biology-based lens. In these episodes, I'll share stories and strategies from my own life, work, and research, answer listener questions, and wrap it up with a try-at-home tip. Decades worth of information in just minutes. You ready?
To our holiday season series. No, this episode is about creating, I wrote goals in here, but it's not really goals. What I'm asking you to create and or what I'm suggesting might be helpful to create can be done any time of the year. It just so happens that it flows so nicely into this particular episode, but in this time of the year. They aren't necessarily goals as much as they are values. So it's sitting down with your family, even young children. Like I'd probably start to do this with like, definitely by four, probably by three, depending on like the developmental level of the three-year-old. So what we're doing here is we're defining what are our values as a family. These are 3 to 5 core values, statements, family values. And I would say, I would even like really encourage you to try and get it down to 3 because 5 can be hard to remember, especially for young children. So what are these? They're basically like mission statements. Like what's your family mission? And you have 3 of them, maybe again, max 5, but try and stick to 3. And the person that's well known for this inside of family systems is the developmental psychologist called, I'm probably going to botch this name, Thomas Lacona. So he wrote a text called How to Raise Kind Kids and Get Respect, Gratitude, and a Happier Family in the Bargain. But he talks about creating family values. So what are these? They are a set of we statements. We are, we do, we as a family, as a collective, as a whole, follow this. And these statements express the values or the virtues that you all, as a collective whole, want to commit to living by as a family. So let me give you some examples here. You might say something like, we show kindness, or even extending it to we show kindness through kind words and kind actions. We say we're sorry, or we say we're sorry when we hurt someone. We forgive and make up. Or you could even do like, we forgive and we make up when we have a disagreement or a fight. I try and keep them really short. So for me and my family, we show kindness. We say we're sorry. We forgive and make up. Those are the 3 that I would probably choose. Now, I wouldn't actually choose those for my own family system because those aren't the 3 that are my highest values. But I would keep them super short, especially again, if you have young children. So the best place to start with this is to define them and then talk about what they look like. And then once you define them and you talk about what they look like and talk about ways to do them and kind of ways that are non-examples as well, things that are against them, you can hold the whole family system accountable by having like weekly meetings centered around questions relating to the values. It could be even like at dinner or before bedtime. So you might say things like, if kindness is one of your values as a family, how did we show kindness this week? How did we use kind actions this week? How did we use kind words this week? Or you could say things like, what would help us to not say unkind things, even if we were really upset with somebody? So just kind of the purpose of this, why the accountability meetings are important beyond just the values themselves, is because you define the values and you post them somewhere in your house for the kids to see. But if you don't ever reference them or talk about them, they'll forget what they are. But if you frequently bring them to the forefront of your mind, your thinking brain, the thinking brain kind of keeps them there in your working memory. And as the children and as you as adults go through your days, they're there in your working memory. And these conversations around the values are there. And when it's there, you're subconsciously acting in that direction. So when it's so easy to access in your mind, you begin to show more kindness. You begin to and continue to say you're sorry and forgive and do all these things because it's right there in the forefront of your mind. The other thing that I really love about defining core values is I like to use them around behavior modification. I like to use them to redirect. So if a child is misbehaving and being unkind, I might say something like, is that being kind? Or who's being unkind? And you could use it the other way too. I mean, you could use it for positive reinforcement of like, that was a kind thing, or who is being kind, or how did you show kindness? But I really like to use it for redirection because instead of saying, stop being unkind, or don't do that, or stop hurting your brother, or don't hit, like all these things. When I get kids to reflect with something like, are you being kind? They are really thinking through, am I being kind? And when I prompt them to think about that and they really reflect on it, because the reality is they're probably acting impulsively. They probably did it without thinking. If I get them to stop and actually think about it, the next time they go to do that again, they might pause before they impulsively act and think, is this being kind? Because we've asked that question and we brought it up and we've talked about these values. So it's there, it's locked in their mind. And they're more likely to behave in that direction. So it kind of works two ways. One, it works as self-fulfilling prophecy. When we have these posted, when we define them, when we talk about them, when we have family meetings about them, when we talk about examples and non-examples of these values, we naturally start to fulfill that prophecy. When we use them to redirect kids for inappropriate behaviors, we are getting them to reflect on their current state to make longer lasting changes. And we're doing so in a way that's way more respectful than saying like, stop, no, don't. I think it's a beautiful way to get kids to comply and teach your family values and your core values and kind of leave a legacy beyond just yourself. Because think about at some point, we all grow up, our kids grow up, we become of old age, we pass away. If we have instilled these values and we have instilled them well, they continue on even when we are no longer here. Powerful. It's incredibly powerful. And what a beautiful practice to have families transition through generations. So if your kids did this practice, it's likely they're going to do it with their kids and their kids' kids. And it's going to keep continuing on beyond us. And it's going to change the way that we show up in this world. So what are the steps for this? What I would do is we're going to link a resource here. It's Scott Jeffrey lists like 200 core values. So it's a list of over 200 values, just to give you some ideas. So I would scour through that list. I'd look at it. And then as a family, I would sit down and I would make a list of, depending on how old kids are, if they're older, I'd make a list of about 20 core values that you all collectively value. If it's a younger group of kiddos or it's a younger child, I would probably stick to more like 10. So you decide on 10 to 20 as a family, and then you take that 10 to 20 and you narrow it down to either 10 or 5. So if you started with 20, you're going to narrow down to 10. If you started with 10, you're going to narrow down to 5. And then once you've narrowed down and you've chosen the ones out of all of those values that we collectively agree on are unanimously shared, you narrow down again. So if you were at 5, you're going to narrow down to 3. If you were at 10, you're going to narrow down to 5 and then down to 3. So you keep going these like layers down until you get all the way down to 3. Once you have your 3, you write out your we statements. We are respectful. We do insert whatever your value is. For one of my personal, because I have my personal core values and we have our family core values. My personal core values are like, I don't write them in we statements, but if I just state out the 3 values, they are like health orientation. So like working out, drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, eating healthy foods. That's a really, really strong core value of mine. community, relationships, connections, probably the strongest value of mine. And the third one is just like learner-centered, learning-focused growth mindset, like just being open to hearing other things from other people and learning new things and always doing things in my life to continue to learn and to grow. So those are my three core personal values. As a family, I can translate some of those into our core values, but I don't need to make the family values the same as my values because I am an individual outside of and of and inside of the family. So what and how do I want my kids to show up in the world? And how do I want to show up for them, to them, with them, and around them? So maybe a little bit more broad, possibly, for your family values than your own personal core values. But you're going to put them into the we statements, write them out, post them somewhere in the house, because if you just do them and you don't ever go back to them, you'll never remember them. Post them somewhere where you can see them, and then schedule those accountability meetings and figure out like a routine based around that, because it's easier to remember to have these accountability meetings and talk about the values and how we've displayed them when it's recurring, when it's like every day or once a week at this time, at dinner time, right before bed, when we wake up at breakfast, like whenever it is, it's fine, but just make sure that you do it the same general time every day, because it'd be easier to remember to do it and keep with it. And then don't forget that you can also use them again for redirection when kids are not doing these things. Who is being the opposite of the value? Unkind. Who is forgetting to say that they're sorry? Who isn't being very forgiving? And asking those questions where it's not pinpointed like you are not being, because that's shaming and blaming and that gets us defensive. When we ask more open-ended questions like who is, then it opens up a conversation to kind of reflect and think. Okay, so that's how you go through the core values. That's how you define them. That's how you utilize them in your family system. Pretty cool activity, something I really love. I highly recommend doing that for the new year. It's a great way to start the new year and start leaning into those values as a family system. And this is whether you are a nuclear family system with two parents and children, or if you're a single mom or you're a single dad, or you are a caregiver that has accepted custody of a child through whatever means, family, foster care, whoever, whatever. You can do this in type of any type of dynamic of family system. And that is going to take us to today's listener question, which is, the question is, dealing with behavior over a short period of time, such as during a speech session, it can be very difficult to gain compliance while parents are often present and they may not be helpful in managing their children's behavior. Yes, I get this. So speech sessions, typically 30 minutes, maybe 45, max 60. How do you deal with challenging behavior in that period of time, especially when it's uncomfortable because you're often with or in front of parents? So it's definitely a little more challenging because you don't have a lot of touch points. Like it's probably only once a week, maybe twice a week. So if you had it every day, it'd be a little bit easier. But I would say couple things. I mean, you can literally set up the core values like we just talked about. I mean, that would be like an ongoing thing that you could reference for redirection and behavior. You might also consider, like, is there something that you can do before the session? Like, if there's behavior that's always cropping up during the session, can you start the session with 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes of something that is like a grounding exercise or a release-based exercise where, and I say exercise, like not necessarily physical movement, though it can be, activity is another term, but do something with the child to get them reoriented and get them in the right emotional state. Because they're coming in with behaviors and it's pretty regular. It's probably true that they are dysregulated coming into your session. So get them regulated before you even start the session. Make sure you're using lots of positive reinforcement. So physical reminders of positive reinforcement are probably the best thing to use. So like I will hold pom-poms or something, or I will give the child pom-poms for every positive action they make, and the physical giving them of something or the physical, like me touching something or seeing something, helps remind me to, like, don't forget to be positive. Cause it's really easy to be like, stop, don't, why are you doing that? So trying to stay really positive in that moment, and then meeting them with compassion. Like if they're showing dysregulated behavior, there's something that's triggering them. So really pausing and saying like, your body's telling me that something's not right. What can we do? And I would definitely go back, listen to previous podcasts, or even go to the blog and look at the like the emotional regulation system I developed, because there's a sequence on categorizing emotions into like a color-coded system. I would definitely recommend the utilization of that, because it helps kids to recognize where they are with their dysregulation or emotional state. So they might be able to see when they come in or during a session that they have moved out of a certain colored zone into a zone that's not conducive for learning, and that will help them visualize to see to get back. And then just also reiterate the expectations. Like, before the session starts, what are your one, two, three expectations? Remind them of the expectations throughout the session and praise them when they do show meeting the expectations. But again, not easy to do in a short period of time, and definitely not easy or comfortable to do in front of a parent. But when you model these things, you're modeling them for the parent, and the parents can use them at home. So dual win. To wrap up the show, I'm going to share with you our try to home tip, which is like a balancing, like on like balancing walk, balancing beam, walking on a tree log, walking on a taped line. Balancing really helps you to be mindful and be present and focus on what's directly in front of you. You can't be thinking about a lot of other things while you're trying to balance, because if you do, you fall over. So activities that involve balancing on something or walking on something that requires you to balance are a beautiful grounding strategy, and kids really love it too, because it's kind of like a game for them. That is it for today's episode of Returning to Us podcast. Don't forget our try it at home tip, which is do a balancing activity with yourself or with your children to get yourself grounded and re-regulate. If you are looking for more support in the areas of stress, trauma, behavior, and the brain, I would love to be a part of that learning journey. So I created the Behavior Hub, which offers a range of supports from coaching to training, even university credit. So if you want to learn more, pop onto the website. Any of those emails, contacts will go directly to me, or you can even send me a text, 717-693-7744. And if you're looking for related support or this type of support more organizationally, like to address burnout, to address productivity or lack thereof, to address company culture, to integrate trauma-based, brain-based practices into the work that you are doing as superiors, administration, down to the staff level, FIVES. Myself and my business partner, Jessica Doring, created this organization to coach people through and certify organizations as trauma and brain-based or trauma and brain-informed organizations, because it massively impacts company culture and therefore keeps staff and increases productivity, which we all want. And don't forget to lock in what you learned today by sharing it with someone else or commenting even below what you took away from it or what you're going to try. Until next episode, I am Lauren Spiegelmeyer, and thank you for joining me. Thank you.